And welcome back. Yesterday marked the last day at St. Louis Public Radio for Kelsey Proud, the news department's digital innovation editor. She's leaving us for WAMU in Washington, where she will serve in a similar capacity. I had a chance to say goodbye to Kelsey yesterday, noting that St. Louis Public Radio is the only broadcasting home she has known in her young career.
It certainly has done. I was given a chance here back in 2010, came on as a temporary web producer, and made that gig permanent after that, and have had several different roles here, eventually, you know, being a digital editor here. So it's been quite a ride.
What is a digital editor? I mean, a lot of people listening to us, I'm sure, have no idea what we're talking about.
Sure. Our editing staff has several editors on it. Typically, you might think of an editor having a supervisory role over reporters. However, my role is over a team of digital skills specialists. So a photographer, an engagement person, so that has to do with our social media, a community engagement person, so that's someone who's, you know, getting out into the community and someone who runs our public insight network, then also a data journalist. So my team is varied and they have specialties, and it's my job to look for opportunities for them to use their talents in the newsroom by themselves and with the other reporters.
How has that changed in the 5 or 6 years that you've been here?
Sure. So originally, when my role was originally a web production role, the station was mostly focused on our audio journalism. Even though we've continued that and will for a very long time, I'm sure, that's our hallmark here in St. Louis Public Radio. We also decided to really expand our digital footprint, what we offer on the internet. And so basically, I changed my role from something that was very much repurposing journalism that was originally meant for the radio to digital content, to really thinking about what is really great on the internet, how people use our journalism differently on the internet than they might over the air.
How are people using it differently?
The job titles of the people that I just told you about that are on my team give some indication. We have a great digital data presence with Brent Jones on my team. So that gives us a real opportunity to build things out with data. So you see charts and graphs and things like that on our website. And Brent also is a bit of a digital builder. So he builds special projects for us, things like that. And so that really adds to what we can do. And then we also have Carolina Hidalgo, who is our photo and video journalist. Her work has really enhanced our storytelling. We know that the web is a visual medium, and that's where we are playing to our strengths there.
You know, it's what strikes me, and I've been asked this question before, are we primarily a radio station or primarily a website? I guess primarily we're neither, but the website certainly has taken a huge part of what we do.
Right, right. And, you know, with the, you know, there's a phrase, you know, the changing news landscape. Of course, you know, that's it's overused, but it's accurate. And so when we're looking at how we can best serve the information needs of St. Louisans and the community, we know that people are using digital formats more and more, social formats more and more. And that though there are still far more people listening to us on the radio, we know that you know, may shift, or how they listen to us and how they use our audio journalism may change over the years. So we're trying our best to be responsive to those changes. And my job has been the entire purpose of it is to help us, you know, continue to be eyes wide open about those changes and smart in how we're going forward.
As our general manager, Tim Eby, has said many times, that people don't listen to the radio anymore. They listen to their telephone. And when they have their telephone in their hand and they're listening, they can also watch the kind of things that that you're doing.
Sure, absolutely. And we know, you know, in St. Louis, where it's a lot of people are still driving their cars. It's a very car-dependent city for a lot of people. You know, we know that terrestrial radio is still strong, and we you know, provide a great service on that platform. But you're right, the on-demand experience is strong. and something where, you know, you have, you know, if you, some who may be listening, you know, used to, you know, have a transistor radio, you know, in their pocket. You know, now it's that, but with a spin of you get to hear anything, anytime. And we have to think about when we're producing journalism that it might not always be listened to this week or today or even in a month. Someone could come back to our journalism a year from now and still find value in it. And so therefore, we have to, when we're asking questions about the kinds of stories we're telling, the format that we put those stories in, we have to think about longevity of that audio also.
You're a graduate of the Missouri School of Journalism.
I am, yes.
Were you studying any of this stuff when you were in school?
Yeah. So what was interesting was that my degree was in something that was called at the time convergence journalism. And what that meant was it was multimedia. I was trained in a lot of different journalistic disciplines. And I zoned in on online and in public media. But I was trained a little bit in radio, a little bit in TV, a little bit in print, a little, you know. So the entire focus of my degree was on asking not, is this a story, but also, what is the best medium or media? What are the best media to tell this particular story every single time? And I think the, you know, the original construction of the degree was meant to make people that were very hireable. You could, you know, hire one person who knew how to do several different things instead of three people with specific knowledge. But I found that in my particular case, I had specific knowledge about online journalism, and that grew. But my appreciation and knowledge of the basics of radio journalism have really helped and informed my role here.
What specifically are you going to be doing at WAMU?
Yeah, so the position that I'll be there in is the official title is Managing Editor of Digital. It's very similar to the position that I have here. I'll be managing a small team at first, and there are plans for expansion of that team and expansion of that station's newsroom. So that's exciting. And they've really made some significant changes there. And I'm excited to kind of be on the ground floor of building something there. I had the opportunity to be part of building the merger here between the St. Louis Beacon and St. Louis Public Radio a couple of years ago. And that experience will really inform and in you know, mostly in positive ways, how I'll approach my work in D.C.
You also were very heavily involved in the Ferguson troubles of 2 years ago. And I guess that was both a learning experience for you, well, primarily a learning experience for you and the staff, how to deal with something like that in this digital world.
Yes, absolutely. It was a very interesting experience. And I, you know, whenever there's a great temptation to talk about it in the past tense, but I tend to think of it as a continuum. Even though, you know, we're coming up, you know, this week on the anniversary of Michael Brown's death, that does not go unnoticed by me or anyone in this newsroom as something that matters to a lot of people and what it means for the region. You know, that period of time in the summer of 2014 was formative for me as a journalist, for me as a person. And I learned that my training had prepared me fairly well, but it was unlike anything I had ever experienced. And it was unlike anything a lot of the journalists had experienced in our newsroom, even though their careers spanned many more years than mine.
What did we learn about the use of social media during this time? I mean, there are people who value it immensely and should because it's a very useful tool, and others who are a little bit afraid of it because it's kind of unfiltered information just floating around out there. What did we learn?
Sure. We learned a couple of things. I want to speak first to the first thing that you talked about its importance. What we saw was the emergence of people as recognized as leaders within movements primarily because of their use of social media. They were, of course, on the ground in Ferguson and around our region in movements, both pro-police and being critical of law enforcement. But those people came to prominence primarily because of how they were connecting people online. And that's that was something that has been happening for a while in other parts of the world. You saw things, you know, the Arab Spring and that kind of thing to, you know, coordinate people towards action. But we hadn't seen it quite in this way. You know, people were looking for, you know, who's the Martin Luther King or, you know, that kind of thing. And that people kept looking for that type of singular figure to emerge in some way. And it hasn't happened. And that's a function of how information is being disseminated. The second part of your question about, you know, whether it's scary and how, you know, what we can do about that. I think the thing that we learned the most was that our role as journalists is no longer really to just, you know, take information in and print it or take information in and broadcast it. Our information is to try to make things a little bit less scary and try to curate a bit around what's going on. So whereas Twitter was a bit of a fire, a fire hose, if you will, the effort that we were trying to make was to try to turn that hose down just a little bit and curate it in our live blog.
Yeah, I didn't mean to imply that it was scary, but what I was thinking of is information coming from sources that we don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And part of your job was to evaluate what was valid information and
right.
what is something that should be looked at with suspects.
Sure, absolutely. And yeah, and that was a challenging part of it. I mean, and it remains challenging. And with this particular situation, what was most challenging was, as I was talking about, you know, people rising to prominence. At first, you weren't sure who those people were. And over time, through seeing how accurate they were over time, how much people responded to them, how much their actions resulted in action, that kind of thing started to lend credence to whether or not we felt that person's information should be brought into what we were curating, or just like with any other journalistic source, you know, whether or not, you know, we could use that information to triangulate and further report and dig in deeper before, you know, just broadcasting something out quickly.
Well, Kelsey Proud, where do we go from here? Project down the road. Where is all this taking us?
Something that I'm looking at pretty hard is the balance between distribution and content creation. Facebook primarily holds the keys to the castle as far as information dissemination is concerned. And the question is how much media companies are going to let Facebook do that, how much they're, you know, we need Facebook, Facebook needs us, but what's the balance there? And so that question is one that keeps me going and keeps me up at night.
We need Facebook and Facebook needs us until the next best thing comes along.
Sure, but it's pretty entrenched. so in some, and they're pretty well off financially. So when you have that kind of a grounding in society, it becomes essential. And then there are other platforms, of course, but that's the big one. And you know, when we're thinking about what we're producing, how we're producing it, and our resources that are devoted to each of those things, we have to start thinking about calculations of, well, there are no more hours in the day than there were. There are perhaps no more people than there were. How do we allocate our time the best to reach St. Louisans where they are?
As we wind this down, I have to point out, and you know it already, you're going into Diane Rehm country.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, it's. I very much admire her work and her long career, and I'm excited to see what WAMU does next as it reinvents that program.
Right. Well, best of luck to you. As they say, there is no fair and farewell, no good and goodbye, Kelsey Proud, but we wish you well. You've been a great asset here.
Thank you very much, Don. I'll miss everyone very much.
You know a dream is like a river, ever changing as it flows. And the dreamer's just a vessel that must follow where it goes, trying to learn from what's behind you, and never knowing what's in store makes each day a constant battle just to stay between the shores. And I will sail my vessel
Kelsey Proud, who leaves her digital innovation editor's role here for WAMU in Washington. We wish her well. She leaves, but Steve Potter will talk togetherness next. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU.